adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight's guest, Ralph Garman, host of Joe Schmo, also, of course, of the Kevin and Bean Morning Show here at the Mother Station at K-Rock. Ralph, a delight to see you.
Adam, always good to see you, my friend.
First off, lost $100 on your Eagles yesterday.
Don't even get me started.
What is up?
I am brokenhearted.
Let's set the stage here a little bit. You guys lived together at one time.
Yes, we did.
Ralph is the host of Joe Schmo.
Yes,
in
Ralph
addition
is.
To being part of the morning show here in Los Angeles.
Right.
And you guys lived together?
That's right.
With 45 other guys?
Or? No, just one other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were fairly civilized.
Is this
you're
the
gay. Is and yes, and we were gay lovers.
You know, you want to know
until Jimmy came along.
That's right. Then I got really just aced right out of the picture.
Got it.
You know, what's funny is I don't think people fully understand. Like it's like my relationship with Jimmy. It's like I go, I met Jimmy. I never met Jimmy before. I trained him to box. We made friends. So you guys did radio.
Yeah.
It's like I never met him. And you know, Ralph and I, when Ralph and I lived together. Ralph and I were Joe Schmo.
How did you meet?
Ralph and I. I mean, I think there's this sort of, there's also this sort of feeling like I winked at Jimmy 9 years ago and said, I'll see you near the top, or I'll see you in the middle, buddy. And I went to Ralph and said, yeah, we're living together. We're just biding our time before we both get on basic cable. We know how this is going to turn out. No, Ralph was a bartender. I was swinging a hammer. I used to employ Ralph.
How did you meet?
Ralph
we were
I,
doing theater together. We were working together in a sketch.
Acme Theater.
Yeah, sketch comedy.
And you just happened to go to the same place.
And he had already been there. He had been established a player there for a couple years when I showed up.
I see.
Because they were adding a second cast. And I auditioned.
Are you from out here?
No, originally Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, that's right, the Eagles.
Moved
right
out here and auditioned for this cast, the second cast of this theater company, the Acme Comedy Theater, where they were doing improv and sketch comedy, and made it. It was a small group of us, and Adam kind of took a lot of us under his wing and kind of taught us how to be funny.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, funniest improv comedian I ever saw.
Wow.
Was Adam Carolla.
Was somebody
thanks,
in the troupe?
What?
There was somebody in that troupe that fit that profile?
Adam. Adam was the guy.
What are you talking about,
thank
Ralph?
You.
What are you
how
talking
dare you,
about?
No, I'm
Drew,
serious.
Please.
Funniest guy.
And that's why you fell in love with him, wanted to
thank
live with him.
Improv. Well, no. He was living with someone else in the cast that was an uncomfortable situation.
Big, mean person.
And I found
was
this.
Was she the stripper?
With a mean cat. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No. She made you put your clothes on.
Oh.
That,
and I found this really cool house, but I was one
this
guy.
Is all the jacuzzi.
It was a three-bedroom house.
With the slicker of stuff on top.
With a great, we'll get into
the
that.
The semen slicker.
With a great deal, flutter. But I needed fillers. I need two more guys. So I found this guy, Cortland, who was also in the cast with us. And at the time, Adam was in an uncomfortable living situation, so I offered him the deal.
I can imagine Ralph going, Sunland. I bet it's a beautiful place.
It was La Crescenta.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Which is the Beverly Hills of Sunland.
Yeah.
The bedroom community.
Yeah, you couldn't score speed for at least 200 yards.
I mean, it's Hunga Canyon.
It really... It is in this area, and you have to know the area, but I'm sure everybody around the country has an area like this. There's one street, which is Foothill Boulevard, and it starts, you know, there's parts of it that's paradise. I mean, you're Pasadena,
in Glendora, Azusa,
La Cañada, or whatever, but as you start traveling west, it just starts, and it's weird because you don't notice it at first. It's just you see a couple of sofas on the lawn, and before you know it, it's just guys working on choppers
that's
out in their driveway, and then eventually start going back into time. Dinosaurs.
It feels like that. Yeah, it really feels
stack,
like that.
Marshall, Will, and Holly were there.
Yeah, it really goes, as you go west, it goes south.
It feels
very,
like
very quickly. Yeah. But
it got like the old west. It did. There were gunfights in the middle of the street and saloons and stuff.
It's all zoned for horses and
it was
stuff.
Down that end. Yeah.
Well,
but at the time, to be fair, Adam was living in North Hollywood, was no great shakes. I was coming out of Glendale, the bad part of Glendale. So for us, it wasn't a bad move.
We had a nice house up there. Ralph had the main bedroom. His bedroom had a bathroom in it. And, everyone paid the same rent, but
I knew. I told Kevin to be surprised that these are the stories that are going to come up. One, I didn't clean the pool. Two, I got the master bedroom, but we all paid the same rent. I found the house, so I figured, you know, I deserved a little
Dibs.
Slack.
Yeah.
All right, it's true. It's true. Let me tell you Ralph's favorite maneuver. Ralph used to like to keep the wall electric built-in space heater on in his bathroom on throughout the day.
Yeah.
Then he liked to keep the hollow core Masonite door, which when open would actually make contact with it. So
with
there was
heater?
Always... Yeah, yeah, because it was in the wall, and so when you open the door 90 degrees... Yeah, it had the grill, yeah. Yeah,
I would forget sometimes and leave that heater
on. Smoke?
Because we never had any heat in this really cool house. That was one of the issues.
We never did have a heater.
Winters were rough. We were burning everything we could find in the fireplace trying to generate some heat in the living room. I mean, seriously, scrap wood that Adam was working on projects he'd bring home from the site we'd burn.
This is when Adam was in his prime. This is really when you'd made it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and it wasn't it wasn't Chris and all those jackoffs in one bedroom
living on Easy Street.
Yeah, this was
we were living large. We had a lot of
Jeffersons,
a lot of parties up there. We had a big pool and a jacuzzi. We had a lot of parties
had some good times. Up there.
All right.
Yeah.
Then it was during that time that Adam started to work with Jimmy, actually. That's when we started doing the Mr. Bertram character on K-Rock and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I was bartending till 3 in the morning. He would fire up power tools in the living room doing a bit over the phone about 6:30 a.m., which was always great. The bandsaw's gone. And I'm trying. I got a hangover. And he's running power.
Ralph into the radio.
Exactly.
But Ralph really, Ralph's one of these guys just, jack of all comedy trades. Mm. Does the voices, can do the straight acting, can do the hosting stuff, as you'll see on Joe Schmo. But perfect addition to the morning show, by the way.
Well, you and Jimmy got me the gig, and I always will appreciate it.
And Ralph wanted to talk
God bless
to
you, Ralph.
About your new restaurant. As we get along here tonight, we can talk about it later.
Yeah, right. I want to hear about this restaurant.
All right. Jen?
Hello?
You're 24?
Yes, sir.
Tuesday nights, by the way, 9 o'clock. That's tomorrow night
actually.
On Spike TV. Oh, good.
You've seen it, Jen?
Yes. The First Network
think?
For Men is not just for men.
I know. We don't like that title either, but they gotta you know, stand alone somehow.
Was it funny?
Did you enjoy Joe Schmo?
I did. The hand on the hooker was pretty entertaining.
Glad to hear it. That was one of our challenges we did. We do sort of Survivor-esque challenges for rewards, and one of them was called Hands on a High-Priced Hooker, where we had a porn star come down and strip down naked, and everyone had to put their hand on a certain pre-assigned part of their body, part of her body, and the last person remaining with their hand on the hooker would win the reward. It was very entertaining.
And your dumb contestant was the first one off.
Yeah, and we had, you know, everything on the show, for people who don't know the show.
Yeah, give the show very quickly.
It's a parody of all these reality shows we've been watching for years, with improv comic actors playing the contestants and me playing the host. So it's a takeoff on these shows. But then we've taken one regular American and dropped him in the middle of the show, and he thinks it's real, and he thinks he's competing for $100,000. What he doesn't know is all the games are rigged, all the votes are rigged, everything that happens on the show has been scripted out more or less, and we pretty much follow him as we screw with his head.
Did you have
like a
table reading?
Yeah, we rehearsed for 2 weeks before we brought him in, and then everything changed because, like Jen said, it was scripted that he was going to be the last person on because we figured he would love to touch this hooker's boob for the entire episode. First thing, he took his hand up and said, "No, I'm not. I don't want to do this." Now we're all looking at her like, "Now what? We're not prepared for this contingency at all." So he often throws us for loops.
I believe this is what happened with me and my family. I don't believe I was actually born to that.
They rehearsed, they expected
something.
And it's
just a group of horribly disappointing actors who have come into my life.
Listen, I met your dad for the first time 2 nights ago.
Really?
And if you'd said, in this room, is it Jimmy's show, several hundred people there, pick out the one person least likely to be Adam Carolla's dad, that would have been the man.
That's what I'm saying. Bad casting, right?
That's right.
Same hair.
Yeah, all right. Jen?
Yes. My question is mainly for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
For about the past month or so, like, I can only guess that the milk fairy came to visit me, and now I'm lactating.
The milk fairy?
I, have some discharge coming from my breast.
Are you pregnant?
No.
Are you on medication?
Yes.
What medicine?
Clonopin, Effexor, and Risperdal.
Well, the Risperdal and maybe even the Effexor can do that. So you got to talk to your doctor about it. Yeah, it's important to get what's called a prolactin level, because if it goes even above 100 or you're really lactating a lot, sometimes it can be a sign that it's triggering something that was already there, like a prolactin-secreting tumor. It also happens to be a normal side effect of some of these psychiatric medicines.
Oh, she's on three. Is that a lot?
Would you say Klonopin, Effexor, and Risperidol?
Was that yes? Yes.
Yeah.
Klonopin doesn't do this. No, it's not a lot.
What is a lot? I mean, three sounds like a lot.
Well, but that's a combo that sort of goes together.
Yeah. All right. All right, Jen.
All right.
Good luck with the sanity.
All right.
Tell the psychiatrist who's prescribing that this is happening.
All right.
That the milk fairy has arrived.
But have fun with it if you're going to be milking anyway, you know? Put in people's coffee and stuff, you know?
Ralph, it would strike me that you're the kind of guy who would be okay with that.
I've tasted human milk.
Have you?
Sure.
And?
Yeah.
Didn't come out of a penis, did it?
No. I don't think milk comes out of penises, Adam.
Well,
I listen to this show. I've learned.
And is it okay?
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother you. Ralph's, he's good to go. When
he's
it comes
a man of great
to ladies.
Passion.
I'm sexually adventurous.
Drew, you and Ralph do share that gene and that you're both men of great passion.
Oh, that's very nice.
But Ralph mixes booze in with that passion, and now you've canvassed the entire United States. I mean, you're a man of passion, but your focus.
Right. Yeah.
He's a man of passion with blurry double vision.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that could be scary.
It's a shotgun of passion, I like to call it.
Rorschach.
That's right.
Rorschach.
That's right. Whereas you have a scope with crosshairs in it, he just sees the landscape. That's
it. One of those guns that fire 4,000 rounds a second.
Yeah. Yes. He's a phalanx gun. It's spent uranium. Fallon?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
For about a year before my boyfriend left for overseas, we have unprotected sex about every day. And
Hold on.
Year before her boyfriend went overseas.
Before he went overseas, okay.
And I'm guessing he's in the military, right?
Yeah.
How long has he been overseas?
It'll be 7 months.
Okay, and during the time when you were having sex, it was unprotected?
Yes.
And what's the question?
And I never got pregnant, but he never really got tested to see if he was sterile. I don't know if he is or if we're just really lucky for me not to get pregnant, but...
Let's count it under the luck category.
Yeah. And we'll count ourselves as a society as lucky as well.
Yeah, she may already have other kids.
Do you have any other kids?
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, hold on. We talk to these people almost every night, and when I think of these people, are like, yeah, we're really lucky not to get pregnant because we had sex daily without using any form of protection.
Shall we go? I wonder
if something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
I picture that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's working at the munitions factory, and as the bombs go by, he whacks it with a hammer and then writes "dud" on each one that doesn't explode. Really? Yeah. Is that your life strategy?
Exactly. At what point do you say, maybe we should start using something because we've been lucky up to this point?
What is the logic behind thinking it through and going, game on? Do it again?
Sure. Don't have anything? Nope. Good. Okay. We're good.
Fallon?
Yes.
Yeah. What's up, baby?
So what's the punchline here?
What's the plan?
My question is, since it will have been a while when he comes back, are the chances greater?
Well, it's been a while for you. He's been banging Asian hookers pretty much nonstop since he left the United States.
Your risk will probably be fine. Will be good the whole time. I mean, in other words, you had a risk before. You'll continue to have risk. It won't change. For pregnancy.
But true, he saved up.
I know that's her logic. But let me turn.
It's hot there in the desert.
Yes, he's super potent now. Get on the pill, please, dear God. Get on the pill. Okay.
I hate the pill. It makes me moody.
Well, you'll hate pregnancy more.
Kids will make you really moody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a much more dangerous state, pregnancy.
I'm so jealous of these people.
We're in Louisiana.
Coasting through life like a basset hound, just sort of sniffing around, finding stuff they like, getting their snout caught in a trash can and stuff. You shoot away every once in a while or hit with a slipper, but it doesn't really bother them. They sort of shake it off and keep moving.
Sleep on the porch.
That's really nice. Yeah, they're not sitting around. They're not thinking about the future. What am I going to do? Or am I going to put the kids through college? Or what about birth control? It's just, I don't like them.
About it. It's fine if we have one.
Right. Go
right. It's fine if we have one of them kids.
Yeah, that's
right. No, listen, this is what it is. You just take the pressure off yourself. Like, you just decide in advance, I'm going to be a crappy. Then there's no pressure. You don't have to worry about college or braces or glasses or sending the kid to prep school. It's like, no, it's just the kid, we'll just sit out front on the sofa. It's on the porch. A kid can watch a little cable and that'll call to life.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you do sort of take the pressure off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think my folks did that.
Yeah.
Ralph's folks, however, loved him.
Deeply.
Ralph's mother sewed him a Batman outfit.
For Halloween?
Not when he was nine, either. He was the...
That's when it started.
She started the private. She didn't finish until Ralph was in his early 30s.
Oh, no.
No, Ralph... It was a full-size Batman outfit. It could hold 185-pound Batman. I don't know if there had been alterations over there.
There had been, Adam. It was augmented.
Sewed the flap up in the back, let the pants out, but...
A new size, you know, bodysuit. You know, you have to upgrade periodically.
Right.
And it was damn handy.
It was a good look, and it wasn't like, oh, yeah, here's some purple tights and a purple thermal shirt and a ski hat that I sewed ears to or something. She sewed the thing from scratch.
Yep. Yeah.
Sent it out from Philadelphia.
With blue bridal satin. She made the cowl and the cape and the gloves and the whole nine yards.
Did you go to college out there?
In Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
LaSalle University.
LaSalle.
Yeah. Oh.
It's outside of Philly, right?
No, it's in the city.
In the city. Yeah. Isn't that engineering school or something?
That's Drexel, you're thinking of. Drexel. One of the big five.
All right, let's go. Made him a Batman outfit.
That's nice.
Yeah. Monica?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
Let me just contrast that with my mother for one second.
All right.
5 years ago, when I actually had two shows running simultaneously on cable, on basic cable,
yes.
My mom brought up at the dinner table that someone had dropped a flyer off at the house for cable, mm-hmm. which for the Corollas, it's an exotic. It's a combination of black magic and crazy,
expensive.
Frivolous,
yeah.
expensive. Yeah. You know, it's like one, it's $22 a month and. We may get brain cancer from this mysterious box
sure
that's
works.
Lit up in our house. Yeah. So there's that. But she, when I had two shows on TV announced the table, give me one good reason why I should get cable. She announced. And by the way, the table stumped.
No one said.
Stumped, including me. No, I didn't. I forgot about it myself. I start bringing up cooking shows. Monica?
Yeah.
You're 21?
I am.
What's up?
You want my question?
Yes, we do.
I was wondering if my boyfriend has a cold sore on his lip, if he could, give me oral pleasure and I wouldn't get anything, you know, from it.
That was the most convoluted sentence I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, but...
Yes, he can give you herpes if his cold sore is from a herpes virus, which it is prone to be.
Okay.
Yeah, now we have a situation that Engineer Anderson brought to our attention just last week, which is our... side of the line cuts out, so we cannot hear questions anymore. Although everyone on the air can hear it, although that was never brought up to us for about 3 weeks. But so we would just bring it up on the air, assuming no one else could hear it either, when, in fact, they could.
Oh, that's
wasn't here.
Yeah, it's great. Monica?
Yeah.
So yes, don't do that.
Don't want to do it when he's got a sore, right?
Okay.
All right, good times.
All right. Okay, a lot of personality on the line tonight. Steve?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
You're virgin?
Yeah.
Your penis is curved?
Yeah.
How curved?
I don't know, I was trying to tell the guy who was talking to me earlier, but he used a clock as an example.
A what?
A clock.
Clock, right. Oh yeah?
All right, I'm going to tell you a story. I've been going out with this girl for about a year, and she wants to... you know, have sex. Uh-huh. And I'm just afraid because I don't know if it's going to hurt her or not. I'm clueless. I'm out here in the ball field.
Yeah. I can't figure out if Steve is a bogus or just has that sort of dicky guy gene. And by the way, if this is Steve at 16, I got to see this guy at 28 with the Italian horn, tons of attitude, driving the vet with 250,000 miles on it that he got for $3,000, but he's still, hey, I got the vet. He works it into every conversation. You want to take the vet?
Should we
take
it to the vet? You want to go party, ladies? You with me?
Yeah. The curvature, which you didn't tell us where it appears on the clock.
All right. Well... he was like, "All right, if it's straight, it's 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
But if it's curved, you know, tell me whether it's, you know, one, two,
yeah,
or three.
Tell us. Yes.
And it's not a right angle. I'd say it's more like in between one and two, like right in between there, like maybe
and
one.
And it's sort of, it's a slow curve.
Yeah.
That's not going to hurt anything. She some women have a little discomfort
with
that.
Clock.
But most men have some, they dress to one side or the other very commonly.
Well, mine's just straight, but it like curves. Like if you're going to take your finger and you bend it.
Yeah, just shut up, would you? Yours is straight, but it curves.
Sure, I got that.
Sure.
Look, it's fine. It's either a congenital or an acquired thing. It's probably congenital. You can take some vitamin E if there's a scar in there. It's pulling it to that side from trauma. That's a code word for masturbation.
No, it's not. How dare you.
Yeah. And if it's uncomfortable to her, you know.
Hold on. You can bend your penis from masturbating?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Huh. No. I have put grip marks in mine like a
stingray
handlebars. Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Yep.
You're fine there, buddy.
All right.
That's why we think it's bogus, because it doesn't make sense that a 16-year-old would refrain from having sex because of a slight curve. He said 130.
Yeah, 130 is not much of a curve. All right, so
it's not going to hurt. Well, I mean...
Oh, shut up.
If it does, she will let you know.
That's the other bogus thing.
If you hear ouch, stop.
The bogus, here's a bogus. A, no question. B, have to keep going back to the no question. Okay, so it's not going to hurt her?
Yeah.
With your no curve, it's not going to hurt her?
Yeah.
It's straight, but it curves? Oh, boy, do I hate 16-year-old males.
You were once a 16-year-old male.
I hated myself, and rightfully so.
Yeah,
but
so
I had a hunch that I hated 16-year-old males before I began doing the show, but every one of my worst fears has come true.
Well, here's a 17-year-old male. Mike?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm a really big fan of the show, and I've been listening for like 5 years.
Wow. Thanks. I love those 17-year-olds.
Yeah. I'm
What's up? You want to heap some praise on Ralph?
Yeah. I've been watching the show, and I think it's really hilarious.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm glad you're watching.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny how you showed up on the horse, like in Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, I made my big entrance, I don't know if you guys saw it, on a white stallion wearing a British hunting coat.
Yeah.
More or less.
You were there just like pausing, looking at him like you were some nut or something. It was really funny.
Yeah, what they didn't tell you on the show, though, is they had an earpiece in my ear, and the directors were constantly talking to me, saying, hold, wait, we have to wait for this camera to get in position, whatever. So I'm just standing there staring at them, and they all thought I was insane, but I was being talked to with the voices
in my
head.
Those earpieces are the greatest thing, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Ralph has great improv chops, which is going to help
him. No, you're good.
No, buddy.
No, you are.
Unlike Joe Millionaire, who gets cornered by a... What's your middle name?
Evan.
Hey, Ralph, I have a question.
Couldn't he just go on with his middle name?
Hey, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was wondering, is that guy really gay that's in the show?
Kip, the gay guy?
Yeah.
No, he's an actor named Lance Krall, who is neither gay nor Cuban, although he plays both on our show. He's a very talented guy.
Oh, that's really cool, yeah. Hey, Adam, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know like you're really interested in cars, and I drive an M3. Do you have an M3?
Yes, I do.
17-year-old and M3.
What year do you have?
You're 17?
Yep.
What do you got, the E30 or the E39 or the
I got 96.
96.
Yeah, so it's not like brand new.
Yeah, but still, it's way too much car for you.
Yeah,
you should have a moped with a card in the spokes.
Adam had
17.
A unicycle at that age. Truly.
I was driving a used TR7 that I used to get under and have to, like, change the alternator about
the
once every 2 months.
Like to
Fred,
come.
That's right. Flintstones.
Mike, seriously, how do you get it? How many miles does that car have on it?
Well, when I bought it, it had 60,000 miles, and now it has almost 100.
Now, how much was that car?
About $22,000.
And how long have you had it?
I've had it for a year.
How'd you buy that car?
Well, my parents helped out, and I...
Oh, yeah, shocking.
I'm going to kill them. I am going to kill you.
Pansy!
Let me tell you something that ruined it for me. I got, I had at least a couple of cars. But being... And Ralph will attest to this, that I've always been a car guy and never had a penny.
Which was so frustrating for you.
It's torture. It's like really being into Coke and never having a dollar. It's just... Your life is torture.
The only
stack
bigger than Adam's porn collection was his car magazine.
Oh, really?
He used to love looking through the car magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just torture. Like, You'll never have that. You'll never have this. You'll never get to this. And then one day, about 5 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago, I was going in and I was buying a new M3. I'd ordered it. It came in from Germany. This is it's about 3 years ago. Yeah. This is going to be first car that I've ever. I'd been leasing some cars and stuff like that. But this car I was buying took 2 months. They shipped it in from Germany, coming off the boat and the whole thing. The day I go down to pick it up, there's some, like, Middle Eastern kid who's, like, 16 and a half, and he's there with his dad, and they're just buying one outright, just paying cash for the
M3.
And I, yeah, just oil dripping from the suitcase with the dollar, with the $100 bills in there. And I thought to myself, you could never enjoy this.
Yeah,
you'll never enjoy it.
Not the way you would, yeah.
Prick with your oil money. All right. So, and by the way, those guys shouldn't be let in the showroom. There should be like a separate showroom for super rich people where it's nothing. You know, for the people who have been scrimping and saving and working hard their whole life, for these people sort of willy-nilly just come in and pay cash for things, they should pull them outside because it really ruined my experience. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Are you hot in here, Drew?
Very.
I'm hot, too.
Yes.
Ralph Garman is in studio. A dear. How many times do I say dear friend with Kathy Griffin?
Nine.
A dear. Dear friend, yes,
ooh,
yes.
I beat the Griffin scale.
Ralph Garman from Joe Schmo, Tuesday nights on Spike TV, 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Dear friend, Ralph Garman.
Old pals.
Old pal, old roommate. Now, has struck gold with Joe Schmo, which is out. Third episode, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock on Spike TV. And what the hell was Spike TV? USA?
It was TNN.
Oh, TNN.
Oh, yeah. It used to be the Nashville Network. Then it became the National Network. And now it's Spike TV. Now that Spike Lee will let us say that. God bless him.
That seemed like the most bizarre lawsuit in the world. Yes.
It's a totally egocentric lawsuit.
Yeah, there's a handful of people out there that wonder why people hate them, and this is why.
When you are accustomed to being sort of victimized, you see every victimization in everything.
Yeah, right. I don't know if it's holding the black man down or what it is, but...
Kill me, though, when he said, well, when people hear Spike TV, they're naturally going to assume it has to do with me, Spike Lee. And they all said, why? And he said, well, my friends think so. And we're like, well, yeah, if someone was called Ralph TV, Adam might think I have something to do with it, too. But people across the country wouldn't give a rat's ass.
Right, and plus... The guy doesn't work in TV and never has been involved with TV.
Ozzie Davis and Edward Norton think you have something to do with it. Just tell them no. Call them up and say no. Boom. Problem solved. Man.
As if it's not a name and as if it's not
a word.
A verb. And a verb, you know? I mean, it's about five different things before it's a director.
Yeah. But anyway, Spike TV now is on the air, and we're on every Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock.
There you go. Lindsay?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I'm dating this guy. We've been dating for about 4 months, and lately there just hasn't been a strong sexual connection between the both of us.
You mean you for him?
Yeah, and I mean, when I talk about my boyfriend, he's pretty hot. I mean, considering the guys I've dated, he's probably the hottest one I've been with.
Yeah, but
for chicks, that doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but I can see what you mean. I guess.
About him that's bugging you?
What's that? I think that's the underlying issue at hand. I think he's from a different country.
Him being hot is the underlying issue?
No, that she's bugged about something.
Some of the issues, like just culturally, he's a lot different than I am.
What country is he from?
Oh, I don't want to say. I'm afraid someone's going to
recognize. Come on. It's gonna help. Bless, it'll be funny with the cultural stuff.
He's from Lithuania.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Pull out your Lithuania chunk, Adam.
Yeah.
You got some stuff for that?
Yeah, I got about 30 jokes on the Lithuanians.
A little Vilnius humor?
Yeah. First, I got to figure out where they are.
So what does he do that's very Lithuanian that bugs
right.
you so much?
You know, sometimes just if he talks a lot, I mean, even just the speech. I mean,
right, look, you're just not into this guy anymore.
Don't talk so much, honey.
One of the things that women get is a lack of attraction sexually when they're sort of falling out with a guy. When he doesn't not into him anymore, first thing that goes is sexual appeal. And guy could be the hottest guy on earth, but all of a sudden he just doesn't look right to you. And you start picking at him and making issues with things. And
I mean, I didn't know if this was grounds for a breakup or a...
Yeah, it is. It is.
Moving on.
Yeah, you're just not. You know, it's okay. You just, you know, this isn't the guy for you.
Well, stick with your own kind, too.
And it says nothing to do with his cultural issues. He could be anything. Whether, you know, you just don't like him as a person or his habits or his own share kind of life plan, whatever it is.
All right.
Not everyone has to, every relationship has to work out.
I do think, I'm trying to think culturally what your best bet is for an American chick. I go American guy. And then there's a handful of European countries that you might want
to
stick
with. I think Canadian has to be up there.
Canadian's got to be up there.
It's like America light.
Australian, though, you gotta. He's going to be drinking a lot.
Same with the Canadians.
That's true. Canadians going to be drinking, but they're docile. You know, they drink and they fall asleep. The Australians,
yeah, but
they
for
fight.
A young woman, that's not interesting.
Yeah.
They got to have something to chase
okay,
after
but that. I'm not talking about attraction. I'm talking about what's good. You know what I mean?
What works.
I'm trying to think. I mean, you want to stay away from all those Middle Eastern countries, probably African countries. Where else in Europe? Italian guys. You don't want full-blooded Italian guys. Yeah, let's face it. People are like breeds of dogs. There's just certain breeds you don't want to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Unless you really love that breed. Like, there's a lot of people that love Chihuahuas, but we all, us sane people know they're just horrible dogs, but
the
people
Irish.
That can still really love them anyway. Yeah, who do you want to steer clear of? I say full-blooded Italian guys, troublemakers, too. Do you know what I mean?
You want the easy
passion.
Breeds.
Yeah, you want the easy.
Scandinavians.
Your Labrador types.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, that'll work.
Just have a nice Swede.
Right. Maggie. All right. Put her back on hold. And go to Mike, who's 24. Mike?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, what's up? This is Mike. Actually, this is Danny.
And unacceptable.
I wanted to ask a question. What's the craziest thing that ever happened between Ralph and Adam when they lived together?
Didn't they share a girl one night?
No,
not me and Adam.
Who was the girl?
Adam was such a meat and potatoes guy when it came to like sex and women and stuff.
Yeah.
He would have a girlfriend, and that was his thing. He just liked to be with her, and he wasn't a big player when we'd have these big parties and stuff. He was not a
thank you.
He was not going around banging
true.
A lot.
That
forward.
No, that's true. Of
straight
you.
Shooter.
You.
Yeah.
But the craziest thing.
Yeah.
Who was the Mad TV girl that we had that you guys?
Lisa Kuchel. Yeah. Well, we loved her, but we never got our chops on her.
No.
She just ran around in a bikini once in a while.
But did you ever? Were you witness to the night on the pool table with me and that girl and that guy?
I did. We used to have parties.
Yeah.
And we'd have swinging parties.
What does that mean?
There's a lot of nudity.
There's a freewheeling going on.
And you weren't you know what I mean? Didn't.
The people weren't uptight. I'd cash in. Here's what would happen is the party would usually break up about 3:30. In the morning, and then you know, like the Zamboni hitting the ice after the guys clear off, you know, in between periods. That's what Ralph would do. Ralph would roll
Zamboni.
Out there in that Zamboni, and he'd mop up whatever stragglers were
I've
left
never
behind.
Been called a sexual Zamboni before, but I think I like
it.
It's fitting, isn't it?
Covered the entire rink. And once
behind.
In a while, you'd find him on the pool table with maybe a young couple or a couple of gals or something. We did after a good party once find like this is sort of out of some bad frat house movie on USA, but there was a condom in one of the side pockets.
Yeah, nice. Cool condom in the side pocket.
Not sure if that came from Ralph.
Which
or
is the
not.
Name of my new new film.
Pocket,
I hope
yeah.
you'll go out and see it.
Ralph and I we used to like to sit around and watch late night infomercials and entertain ourselves. We would sit around and watch.
This
like,
is where your infomercial habit started, I guess.
I enjoyed watching. Infomercials.
Angry. Hated me that I didn't know who Tommy Vu was.
Oh.
Furious with me. How
he's
dare you?
The best.
Yeah, he's the best. You're too scared to make money. You
be like me.
You round that pussy. I come over and coffee can.
Look at these women.
They're my bitches.
We did a lot of commentary watching television. That's where we honed our chops.
It was great. Oh, I mean, it's great. This little guy, I think he was Vietnamese or something, and he would yell at you that you were too yellow and spineless to make money in real estate. And,
look at this car!
That's my toy! I love that, too. Like, wow, this guy's got Ferraris. Those are his toys! Imagine
what his real car.
His real car must be 60 stories! Those are his toys. That's my toy. And then he'd be driving a scarab boat through like Key West. There'd be like 30 coked up white chicks on the deck. You know, these are my girls. This is my toy.
You can have this life if you're brave enough.
Yeah. But you're scared. You're yellow. Yeah, it was great. And then he ended up doing time.
Yeah,
it was great. Good but we used to watch Richard Bay. That was always
fun. I ran
fun.
Into him. I did a talk show in New York promoting my book.
He's
next
still
guest,
working?
Richard Bay.
What's he doing?
He was
sort
a
of,
guest?
He's sort of buttoned down and straight now. And I mean, I just very calm and nice guy.
Wow. Yeah. Good times.
He was Springer before Springer was Springer.
Yes, he invented Springer. He really did.
We would...
You know, the producer of Loveline was his original producer, the David Sittenfeld.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah.
We shared little war stories and stuff.
That's funny.
Once in a while. We still like to... we'd grab a six-pack and rent Omega Man or something and sit around into the wee hours of the night. Because it was really... It's a weird kind of in-between thing, which is you're trying to be an actor, you're trying to be a comedian, you're trying to be a writer. None of that is working out, but there's no, you're too old for college, you're too old to live at home, so you're sort of living around in an adult limbo.
Right.
It's like no one's going to tell you what to do because you're 28 years old, but yet there's nothing to do, and you don't have any family or anything, so you're just kind of floating around with other people like yourselves in this sort of suspended state of adolescence, even though your driver's license says 27, right. 28 on
You're trying to maintain adult relationships, but the rest of your life is so just not adult that it just feels wrong.
Right.
At least it always did for me.
All right. Ralph Garman, dear friend.
In life.
We had no structure.
We had no structure.
Look at us now, Drew.
That's right.
Structured.
Adam's literally a millionaire.
Literally a millionaire.
And I have a basic cable television show that airs every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
That's right. Joe Schmo, everybody. Tuesday night, Spike TV. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dear friend Ralph Garman, ex-roommate Ralph Garman, in tonight, host of Joe Schmo on Spike TV, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. Yes, Drew?
Nothing.
Okay.
It is pretty cool when I think back how far we've come from those days, Adam, when we were living together.
Oh, just having car insurance is super cool.
I think
super
for you,
cool.
Adam, it's having a car with window motors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cranks? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ralph didn't know me when I had the truck with the cranks that were broken off. But Ralph saw me out in the driveway many a night working on the rig. Had ourselves a nice place up in the foothills with never had a heater the entire time that we lived there.
Least we didn't have air conditioning either. So we had that going for us.
Right. No air,
really
no
hot
heater.
In the summer and really cold in the winter.
Yeah, and it's great. This particular part of the world, the summers got up to 114 and the winters got down to 29.
For some
it's
reason.
Like up in the foothills. Like never has there been more temperature range than where we're living in La Crescenta at the time. And just freezing winters.
Brutal.
Yeah, but good times. Good times. Autumn?
Yes.
You're 20?
Hello? Hi, how are you guys?
Good, what's up?
Okay, I have a question for you. Okay, my boyfriend of over 2 years. Okay.
Yes, we're following.
Okay. He has been doing marijuana since he was 16 and still does it. He's 29 right now.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that could affect the sperm. Of any way of having kids?
It lowers testosterone levels, can maybe decrease the potential of fertility, but it's not going to make him infertile.
It won't make him infertile?
No, very unlikely. But the real problem here is that you've got a severe marijuana addict on your hands here, and eventually he's going to get depressed, he's going to have trouble functioning, and something will have to be done about this.
What's you want to have a kid with this guy?
Yes, I do.
Why?
It seems like really stoned guys shouldn't be dads.
Yeah.
Well, I have a 2-year-old of my own, not his. But
All right.
That solves it. Sorry.
And if you'd had two kids, we'd send you out a fruit basket and an apology letter signed by all of us. I see. So if you already have a kid, if you're already a mediocre to crappy mom, then that explains it. I'm sorry. With another guy who's not in your life.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
well, then it makes perfect sense to have a kid with a marijuana addict.
Sure. We apologize.
I wasn't clear.
Ralph.
The thing is, he doesn't act any different when he's on it.
He what?
He don't act any different.
No, I understand, but that's not necessarily a good thing, A. And B, he will start to get depressed and less functional. It's the way pot works. It can take sometimes a couple decades for it to catch up.
That's like people always say to me, you were loaded? I didn't even know you were drunk. I was like, that's not necessarily a good thing.
That's not necessarily a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd still take it as a compliment. Yeah. Hey, Autumn?
Yes.
What? So how old is your child?
He's two.
Two. And where's the father?
I have no idea. He left when my son was 6 months old, or 3 months old, sorry.
Okay. Can you get any money from him?
I have to go through the state to get child support from him, like welfare.
Whatever. You gotta,
well, that's not child support from him. That's child support from me.
But he's a deadbeat dad. He should.
Well, they take it out of his checks.
Oh, so they do.
They did find him then.
Yeah, they know where he's at, but I don't. But they know where he works.
Okay, so they're getting money. And by the way, we started the evening by talking about how certain words didn't seem strong enough, such as casual. We weren't doing it on the air, but casualty.
Yeah,
meaning death and
medical misadventure.
Misadventure also oftentimes meaning death. Garnishing the wages is another thing that could use a little straightening up.
Put
for
a
me.
Piece of parsley on your paycheck.
Want some mint next to your wages, or are we just going to take $150 out every week?
Here's a radish rose. Put that on your paycheck.
So, Autumn.
Yes.
What does your stoner boyfriend do for a living?
He's a handyman.
Handyman. Yeah. That's
he's looking for work, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you understand. Here's how bad a job handyman is. Carpenters get angry when you call them handymen. Do you understand? That's how bad that job is. Stoner handyman is not going to make a good second daddy for your second kid.
Okay.
How about you get this guy off pot, you get your life straightened out, you marry this guy, then you have a kid like a human being in a couple of years.
Well, yeah.
All right, there you go.
There's your plan.
There you go. Rush. That's it.
All right?
That's your plan.
I was just wondering if the marijuana could affect the sperm in any way.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, we hope it would.
It really
we
would.
God willing.
Yeah, we'd tell you to keep going with the pot if it really were an effective contraceptive, but
honey,
it isn't.
He's just smoking it? You mean he's not eating it and injecting it as well? He's not taking it regularly? Oh, my God, no. Please. Handyman.
Stone handyman.
By the way.
Couch.
Handyman is...
I want to work, it's just nobody needs anything fixed.
Yeah, handyman is a stoner who replaces bulbs and porch lights. That's basically
what nursing home.
Is. Yeah.
Victoria.
Andrew?
Victoria, no.
Oh, sorry. Victoria, what's up? You're 19.
Yeah, hi. I just had a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ever since I had my baby, sex just feels different, and I'm just wondering why.
Good or bad?
It's still good. Like, it was good before, but... it's just different.
Okay.
Again, but can you describe what direction you've gone?
Well, just different. Not bad, right?
Well, it feels different. Bad, no. Intercourse feels differently?
Yeah.
Well, you had a vaginal delivery. Your vagina's all torn.
Cantaloupe came out of your crotch. What do you mean you're wondering why? If I just kicked you once in the crotch, would you be wondering why?
Yeah, well, I was just wondering what it was that made it, like...
Well, there's actually more than that. I mean, that's obvious. That's the sort of obvious answer, but there are some profound hormonal changes. Did you get more aroused during the last part of the pregnancy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that usually happens. That's again, God's tricks on
you. Little minx.
They really get going at that last trimester.
How long ago did you have your baby?
3 months.
The
problem is, there's often a big, huge letdown afterwards. Sometimes the post...
Okay.
Postpartum depression and the hormonal changes can leave you without any sex drive after having been real high for a while. Suddenly it'll sort of drop off for a year or so.
Are you married?
No.
Of course not. It's love line.
I'm sorry. Sorry, sweetie.
Is the dad still in the picture?
Yeah, it's him still, yeah.
Okay. You guys going to get married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
That's a big commitment.
Yeah, I understand. It's not like raising a kid.
No,
there's paperwork involved. All right, Victoria.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, as a guy, you know, you're living together, you knock her up, you see the pregnancy through full term, have the kid. It's like, now when do you really ever have to get married? Like, if you've gotten all those gates, what's she holding over you?
Right.
What's going to get you to the altar at this point?
But women crack me up because, will you marry me? We have a kid together? No. All right, but I'll still have sex with you. If I was a woman, there's no way I'd have sex.
They don't
sex
understand
with
the power they have. They do not understand it.
That's the gate. That's the magic place.
They do not understand it, and they refuse to like take advantage of it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They could get whatever they want.
Yes, they can.
They're like that kid from the Twilight Zone who wish people into the cornfield. they have so much power, yet so naive, so young.
Excellent
such
point,
such a feeble
Adam.
Mind. Yes. But it also makes him dangerous, too.
Because they'll turn you into a jack-in-the-box.
That's right.
Exactly.
See?
What?
Ralph knows what I'm talking about. This is why we could sit on the sofa at 4 in the morning.
For hours.
High as hell.
I threw drunk throwing
pie.
Plywood into the fireplace and watching Richard Bay and Tommy Vu. All right.
This is my toy!
Ralph Garman in studio tonight. Dear friend, ex-roommate Ralph Garman. He is the host of Joe Schmo, Spike TV. Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dear friend, not to be confused with junior producer Lauren, is Ralph Garman, host.
Kathy Griffin's going to be ticked off, man.
She's got 9 dears.
That's true.
Joe Schmo is the name of his new show, third episode, airing this Tuesday. That's tomorrow for a lot of our listeners, and that's 9 o'clock on Spike TV. Ralph, my old roommate and now a cornerstone of the morning show here at the mother station, K-Rock. And spectacular on that morning show, by the way,
Thank
Ralph.
Thank you very much,
I,
Adam.
Must say. Really bring a lot to the table.
Adam and I started doing sketch comedy and improv comedy in this little storefront theater in North Hollywood here in Los Angeles.
That's
right. A million years ago.
Is that where the Acme was?
Originally on Lancashire Boulevard, yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Down...
Now it's on La Brea.
It's on La Brea.
By your restaurant now.
It's connected to the restaurant.
Adam's restaurant.
I've heard this rumor that you bought a piece of a restaurant.
That's right.
You did it so we can impress checks.
Oh, it's a little late now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll tell you, it's nice. I walked in, a waiter called me boss. I threw a glass at him and fired him.
On
it's
the
great.
Spot.
It's great.
You know, if you go to his house, he's got all these workmen there working. They'll call him Jefe.
Oh, I know. El Jefe, sure.
Yeah, that's nice.
Adam's like a Big Daddy in some Tennessee Williams play now. Yes. He's like a plantation owner.
Yes. He
walks around in a big straw white hat. He's got a cane with a silver head on it.
That's right.
He's drinking a mint julep, hitting the slaves.
Jefe. I love that. Maestro is another good one. Or Maestro. Nice one. You're the maestro.
So why'd you buy into a restaurant, Adam?
I bought into a restaurant because the...
He needed to feel like a big casino.
No.
Oh, I see.
No, here's what happened. We met, that is Ralph and I, at the Acme Theater 12 years ago.
Right.
And the owner of the Acme Theater is a dear... That's enough.
Dear
friend of mine. is also a... friend of Ralph's. We'd known each other. I'd known him longer than I'd known Ralph. Right. And he was always talking about getting this restaurant that was right next to the Acme Theater. And one day, if it ever sort of, and one day it did. And he was looking for investors. And he's a competent guy, say what you will about him. But he's got a pretty good business head on him. And I just invested in it. And you know what? It's nice. Hey, we walk in there, they pull a table out for you, they give you a free little appetizer.
Well, there's the freezing right there.
Pay for
it. To write a check, you got an appetizer.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to come by and eat at your restaurant then.
Please. Please do.
I'm going to bring a little jar of some silverfish and sprinkle them in the salad and say,
right.
This is unbelievable.
Amber?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I just want to know why I don't have orgasms.
Because you're a bad person. All right, let's move on.
Oh,
I can't help everybody. All right. Amber?
Yes?
Sorry. Okay, so you've never had an orgasm?
Never with another person.
But you can by yourself?
Yes.
Well, then it can be done.
Yeah, you will find that person. Have you had a boyfriend?
Yeah, I have a boyfriend right now.
Can you tell him what he needs to do that for you?
I told him, you know, and it just, nothing happens. I don't...
How old is he?
He is 25.
Ooh. Mm. I was going to say younger guys.
Yeah. Mm.
So you had a 39-year-old Ralph in the Batman outfit, I guarantee.
Amber, are you comfortable with him when you're having sex?
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Sometimes if you're nervous, I know that can...
I like this, I don't like that, but just nothing... I've never had it with anyone.
But let's assume, is it reasonable to assume he's not sort of doing it? He's not technically not doing what you need?
I guess it's reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably what's happening here.
Okay, so I guess the question whenever this comes up is it you, is it him, is it both of you? We know the wiring is hooked up.
Mainly. I think it's me, yeah.
No.
If you're not nervous, you know the plumbing works, you're able to do it, he just can't do it for you. And even though you're sort of instructing him, he still can't pull it off. That suggests it's probably
Does he give you oral sex?
Yes.
Does he do a good job?
It's still nothing.
No,
he's not doing it right.
That's then. That's the other thing too. When you get sort of evasive with your answer, it's like, does he do a good job? It's still nothing. Is your answer? Does he do a good job though? Does it?
Is he?
I enjoy it, but I don't.
But he's not really able to.
All right, listen. Screw Amber. I my impulse was to hang up immediately.
Just an aside. In my book, who Ralph was good enough to read, Adam.
Yes, Cracked, by the way, is very good. I'm only about a third in, but it's really, really involving.
Thank you.
Here it really drops off. About page 120.
But the book is called Cracked, and my main character is called Amber.
Oh, really?
She has a little problem, and she's difficult to deal with, just like this Amber.
Yeah, and you know what? Amber sounds hot. Amber?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you good looking?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, you're hot.
Yeah,
because you got a 25-year-old dude, and you got a lot of demands, and you're constantly disappointed because life should be better for hot people.
He's sort of
like
not up to it, too. He may not be up to sort of.
He could be nervous.
He's not taking command of the situation. Right. He doesn't quite know what he's doing.
What does he have experience with the ladies?
Oh, what 25-year-old doesn't?
That's a lot of them. Yeah, that wasn't the question.
No,
Oh,
look. What?
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do? Junior college?
Yes.
You're uncanny. You are uncanny.
I work at school, and I work at a restaurant.
All right.
Restaurant worker. She is
hot. Oh, you are hot.
You a hostess?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Damn, she's hot.
Hostesses are always hot.
Oh, man.
There's nothing better than a hot hostess. There really isn't. And, you know, there's
Even
nothing...
as a person, when you go into a restaurant and you're waiting for your table and you see her there at the podium, you're already happy.
There's nothing that exists. It does not exist in the male-to-female world, which is this person, this hostess, is 19, and she makes $7 an hour, and you're hoping she looks your way while you're sitting there. As an adult who makes plenty of money and drives a nice car and stuff like that, it does not exist. There's no
female equivalent.
No.
No.
What does a woman do? She's waiting for the guy, the waiter, to turn around?
No, she doesn't want the waiter. He's got no money. He's got nothing going on.
Right, he's got nothing going on. But there is something...
Guys are too funny.
I'm trying to think of the hot jobs. And I know if you take a hot chick and you put her almost anywhere, it's great. Right. But something about the hostess. You get that little walk to the table.
But
you're always
just,
walking behind them. They're telling you to follow them. They know the lay of the land there.
Although, I'll tell you, spending 10 years as a bartender, I got to tell you, bartender was pretty close.
There you go.
You would get a lot of older ladies who would come in for a cocktail with their friends or whatever.
Yeah, but that's because you talk to them. That's what they want, is somebody to talk and listen. Yeah.
Plus, you have the power because you got the booze goods, behind the wood there, you know, that's what they want.
So to speak.
Yeah. Ralph was jealous of that bartender.
Yeah, he's mentioned it a million times. I didn't realize he was talking about you.
Over at Tequila Creek. Tequila Creek.
Which doesn't exist anymore, believe it or not.
Yeah.
There's no more Tequila Creek.
Well, it jumped the levee and was flooded by Beer River.
And Ralph should open a restaurant. Now that you have such a system experience. Ralph's been the inside. You've been a jefe.
I could jump behind the oak, man, bring in my following. This is good to know that if the acting thing, the TV and the radio thing ever goes into crapper, I can always get a job slinging bottles over your place, right?
Yeah. All right. Megan?
Oh. Yeah, it's time.
Yeah, you're 19. What's up?
Oh, so the whole entire the women have the power comment.
Yes.
Not true.
You have all the power between your legs.
No, I tried to pull out the power thing tonight. Did not work.
What happened?
You know what I got? I called the guy. I met him. He's really cool. We've been talking for a little while. I called him tonight. I live in Northridge. He lives in Malibu. Not that far, but far enough to kind of be like, just hang out for a few hours. Kind of far. I'm willing to drive out to see you. I'm sorry. I'm really tired. I'm going to go to bed.
No, stop. Adam, please set her straight on this one.
Well, first off, you living in Northridge and him living in Malibu neutralizes the power equation
right.
Already.
It is a proximity thing.
Right. So he lives in Malibu, which is a much better place than Northridge. She's in the valley. He's in Malibu.
He's not leaving Malibu to go to Northridge, you're saying.
Right. I'm saying
I was going to go to Malibu to see him.
I know. I'm saying his stock,
his number
is raised.
I see.
Where does he live in Malibu? Does he own a house?
No, he lives in an apartment.
Okay. And what do? You live at home?
For right now, yeah. I'm moving out at the end of summer.
Here is the caveat with men. He must be into you for you to have the magical powers.
Yeah,
And if he's not into you, it's a zero. He's not. He's
all right. Well, he seemed into me, but
and
I
if
guess
he is,
not.
If he is in, he'll crawl and he'll walk on his hands from Malibu to Northridge.
Right.
Yeah, and this is how you know a guy's not into you is he's not currently on top of you. Because if a guy says, I got to study, I got a big test tomorrow, I got a pretty big day at work, or, geez, I don't know, I went out the last two nights. That's just, you should
that's
hear
zero.
That as, I'm not into you.
Zero.
I'm not into you.
That's the
zero.
Let's just be friends of
but
manhood.
But that's not, because the guy could be 20% in and still be walking on his hands from Malibu. It's zero.
Right. Yeah, that's a zero.
However, unfortunately, we will sometimes, in your presence, give you the impression that we're into you and play that game just because we got nothing better to do when you're standing there.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's kind of unfair. But
where did you
were taken?
Where did you meet this guy?
I met him at, like, a mutual friend's house, like, a party, and he was giving me the I'm into you thing and then got my number and even called me the next day and continued the I'm into you thing for a few days.
Guys will do that just like rodents gnaw and stuff to keep their teeth sharp, you know? Yeah.
It's a scrimmage.
It's a bullpen.
Yeah, they're just keeping the reflexes going. They're
bullpen.
Keeping the dust off their nads, you know, but they're not really planning on doing anything. Yeah, they just want to go throw the ball around
it's
a little
pre-season.
Bit. Yeah, they're not getting into the game. They just want to keep the arm warmed up. That's all that was.
Yeah.
He was just stretching out, keeping warm in case he meets someone he really
likes.
We know that
because if he were in any other relation to her, he'd be on top of her.
Yeah, now, here's why women believe guys with their excuses, because they're excuses
that
women would do. Like, a woman would say, gee, that sounds great, but my aunt is coming in town from Cleveland this week, so I'm kind of busy, maybe the following weekend. Yeah, or I got a big test or big day at school or whatever. If a guy was really into a chick and he had finals the following morning at an 8 a.m. class, he would stay up all night screwing that chick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Sex trumps everything.
What women don't understand is that the motivational priorities of the brain, the male brain, are entirely different. And they're coached to believe that we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the motivational priorities are so different that they almost can't comprehend it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And Drew is a man of exquisite passion.
I'm flanked by Ralph.
Yeah.
I get an amen.
Amen. You guys should have some sort of passion off. Which wouldn't be a bad spray for
passion off.
Good.
New from Dow Chemicals.
You're camping with a couple of strangers. Keeps mosquitoes, gnats, and rapists away. All right, let's go to line 6 here and talk to Cassie, who's 19. Cassie?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
This kind of goes along with the last thing, the whole power thing and everything. I dated this guy for a month, and it was like, one of the worst relationships I've ever been in.
Why?
Well, we fought a lot. Like, we were going out for 2 weeks, and we had this talk about, like, pregnancy. And he said that, like, if I ever got pregnant, he would leave me.
Sweet.
And
that's a nice guy.
Abortion.
Good man.
Nice guy. Okay, and so what's happening now?
So you spent 2 more weeks with him after that conversation.
Yeah.
Well,
now she's intrigued. Like, I don't know, because my point was that, you know, if you make a baby, that you got to take care of it. And, like,
look,
kids.
We get it. He's an idiot. Okay, keep
right.
going.
Well, and then I ended up agreeing with him or whatever, going along with what he said.
Why?
Oh, man.
Why?
Because, like, I don't want to have a baby either. Like, I wasn't, like, he thought.
Yeah, but you didn't believe the way he believed for a second.
Regardless of whether you wanted a baby or not, he was obviously a bad guy, the way he put it.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay, so it was stupid for me to stay with him, but I did. So we went out for, like, 2 more weeks. And then he ended up breaking up with me in a voicemail. Like, just left a voicemail on my phone saying, oh, it's over, and I'm sorry that I have to do this in a voicemail, but I'm not going to have service all night and stuff. But since then, I'm like his booty call, though. Like, he'll call me, and he'll be like, what are you doing? You want to come over? Or, like, he'll text message me on my phone and be like, you want to come over tonight?
And you go over?
Yes.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling. Why do I do this? Like,
well,
why am I doing
this? You have low self-esteem.
You're a victim. Somewhere you've been victimized.
What happened, baby doll?
Anything? I don't know. Like,
Dad didn't love you? Did your dad not love you?
Which one? I have a biological father and stepfather.
Which one?
Did your dad ever sew you a Wonder Woman outfit? Let her answer.
That's negative.
Oh, okay.
There's some kind of abuse here. You're drawn back into the role of victim over and over and over again. The unavailable male who exploits you, that's what you're used to. And where did that happen in your life?
Well, that's kind of the thing, I guess. This ex-boyfriend is kind of like my biological father in a way.
Right.
Like, they both have the same name. Not that that has
all right,
name,
but the way he
can manipulate. Like, he has such an ability to manipulate, and I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
Like,
look, it wouldn't work if you were healthy. It's not manipulation.
Right.
It's like doing magic for a retard. He's wonderful. No, he's not. He pulled his thumb off and then made it reappear. No, that's nothing.
I had a quarter in my ear.
Pulled a quarter out of my ear.
I have money in my ear.
Right, it's just you're an easy audience.
Right, you're a victim.
I don't want to say no.
Cassie, like, this is what we're talking about. You're relinquishing your power. You have it all, and you're just completely squandering it. And the problem is you can't.
Oh, shut up and listen to us.
Just listen for a second.
Screwball?
The problem is you can't say no because you're used to being in this relationship of being victimized, being exploited, being under the power of a male rather than being empathized with and attuned to and being in an intimate relationship with, which you wouldn't know how to do for a second. You need treatment, Cassie. You do. This isn't going to change for a long time, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, how about that?
How do I make it end?
Saying no next time.
See,
yeah, you just got to say no to this
watch.
Guy.
We'll do a little role play.
No, listen. Like, I'll say no, or, like, I will just, like, ignore him, or, like, I won't text him. Mm-hmm. And then he'll, like, get more persistent, and he'll call me the next day.
Well, if he calls back,
and
that's
then
different.
That makes me feel good. I'm like, oh, he really wants to see me. And so I'm like, oh.
He just wants to bone you.
He has no interest in you as a person. Zero.
Just say no. What's the worst thing that would happen if you said no?
Again, this is different motivational priorities for the male. Just because they're having sex doesn't mean he's having any emotional experience at all. In fact, men, again.
Amen?
Sex, emotion, rarely connected at that age.
Ask any of the hookers I frequent. Yeah. no attachment to them whatsoever.
Adam and his porn,
I was just,
very emotional.
Hey, Cassie.
Yeah?
Let's do a little role-playing, all right?
Okay.
All right, I'll be him. What's his name?
Joe?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever.
All right, ready? I'm going to call you up for a little booty call, all right?
Okay.
All right. Bring.
Hello?
Come on, let it ring twice.
Don't be so eager.
Yeah, you're too eager.
Okay.
Bring.
Let's see if she goes.
Bring.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, what up, Joe?
Yeah, it's Joe. Hey, listen, I need you out here, let's say yesterday, okay, baby? Say, helmet needs a little polishing, and also the Vega needs a little polishing, too. I want you to detail my car, so bring some wax, would you? Yeah, come over tonight. I need to see you.
Right, that can't happen tonight.
Oh, what do you mean? It can't happen. It's gonna happen. I miss you.
Maybe if you pay for my car first, then I'll come over.
Pay? What do you mean? Yeah, I'll pay for it. You just come over. Come on.
Not tonight.
Hold on. Let me put my balls on. Hello? Tonight?
Tonight.
You hear that? They miss you, baby. Now come on down. Come on.
Yeah.
It's not fine. Seriously,
yeah.
I miss you. Just come over. We'll talk. No, we're no fooling around. We'll just drink some wine coolers, and I'll tape an ether rag to your mouth. All right? Come on. Just come over. Let me give you a massage. I want to give you a massage. It's going to quickly turn into a BJ after about 30 seconds. How about a massage? I'll give you a massage. Just drink some wine coolers. Give me a massage. What do you say?
Well, that's cool. You just drink the wine coolers with yourself and, you know, hang out with your
friends. You're not coming over? What's the matter? That we had something?
No, not so much. Not anymore.
Why not? Come on, man. We're cool. Hey, you're not uptight, are you? Which, by the way, works. That can work.
You're
no, get on the defense. No, I'm not uptight.
I'm with it. I'm happening.
You're not uptight, are you, Cassie?
No, not at all.
See you in about 20 then, right?
No. Can't make it tonight. Sorry.
Butter her up a little bit. Give it to her.
Yeah.
Tell her how she is. Yeah.
How sexy she is.
Yeah. You know, crazy. Yeah. I mean, you're so hot. I miss your muffin.
Adam is smooth.
Yeah, you're sweet. Come on, I know we've been. I've been kind of a prick over the last few months, but I've been going through a hard time.
Right. Actually, yeah. He does say stuff like that.
He does. Yeah, I need you. I just feel like I need somebody. You. I just need somebody tonight. You know.
Oh.
Come on.
See, and then it keeps going. How do I just say no?
Yeah, you got to hang up.
Hang
you
up.
Got to get off the
phone. Do not listen to that crap.
But like, No.
Look, you got to find a guy you're not attracted to.
Yes,
which is just a boring,
solution.
Normal guy.
Listen to us seriously. That is an order. That's not a casual recommendation. You've got to do that.
No,
or you have to get treatment.
Because
then you'll start
fathers.
Not being interested in these awful guys.
I know it's like these horrible stepdads and biological dads. They just use their daughters and stepdaughters like punching bags, and then they send them out in the world, and then the world uses them as a punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and
great.
Those are the girls you always see with those a-hole guys, and you're the good guy watching it happen. You like her because she's so
there's
sweet.
There's that, and then there's that version of it, and then there's also the she's a horny girl. It's great. You know, it's really
right.
Like this is
don't
Samantha. No, this is Samantha from Sex and the City. It's great. It's a liberated woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no.
All right. Did you see Sex and the City last night, by the way?
No,
anyone catch that?
Why?
What the hell? You two talking about Sex and the City?
I watched Sex and the City last night.
Yeah.
Samantha, whatever her name is she's spending more time with her clothes off than her clothes
Kim,
on,
Kim
by
Cattrall?
The way. Kim Cattrall.
Yeah,
and the oldest one on the show is the one we get to see nude the most, huh?
Because she has to be.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? The young ones still have attractiveness. They can avoid that.
But again, that character is presented as a liberated,
sexually open.
She's
free.
A sexually addicted, severe borderline personality.
Yes,
very,
that
very disturbing.
That character.
Explains why I'm attracted to her.
Yes, the real life version of her is a train wreck.
I mean,
if you met that person,
would unlikely to live to see 50. Even.
Really?
Those people die young. They do.
Wow.
They have all kinds of problems.
Pimp puts a bullet in them.
All kinds of crazy things happen.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Ralph Garman, dear friend here tonight from Joe Schmo, Tuesday night, Spike TV, 9 o'clock. Drew, don't start walking for the bathroom before I sign off, buddy. You know that I don't like this. Just hang here. All right. We'll be back.
I'll listen to every word.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Wilmer Valderrama is in here on Wednesday night. AFI is in here on Thursday. Andy Dick, Nickelback, Dashboard Confessional, Allie Landry, Sarah Rue from Less Than Perfect, The Bachelor, Bruce Campbell. A lot of people don't know who Bruce Campbell is, but cult movie star. If you saw him, you'd know him.
Great
Unacceptable.
Actor.
Great actor.
Evil Dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Cheap Trick coming in here, too.
Can I come back for them?
Yeah, I love Cheap Trick.
Yeah. I want you to want me.
Yeah, Budokan, baby.
Best album ever.
Here's the whole thing about Cheap Trick, too. They don't get enough credit for being kind of crossover into rock and sort of new wave or whatever. It wasn't just all sort of a REO Speedwagon stuff, even though that was kind of their time. It was really sort of infused with what would have been sort of early 80s new wave and innovative band.
Bunny Carlos, greatest drummer ever. Would drum with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Remember that?
Yeah.
Fat walrus dude with a mustache and glasses.
Cigarette
dangling out of his mouth. Oh,
it was a
so
weird
cool.
band, too. Like, the band never figured out a look direction or musical direction other than everything was good.
Yeah.
Oh, Dream Police.
Rock
Love
on.
That song. All right. So, anyway, Ralph Garman here, dear friend, from Joe Schmo, Tuesday nights on Spike TV, 9 o'clock. And back to the phones we go. Matt, you're 15.
Oh, hey, what's up?
What's up?
My girlfriend and I have sex a lot, and I was wondering... Oh, we agree that we want to get her on the pill.
We
but
agree.
If her parents found out, they'd probably kick her out of her house. So, is there a
How
way
do you
to
feel
get...
if she got pregnant?
Huh?
How would they feel if she got pregnant?
They'd probably kill her or me.
Yeah. Okay.
Or both of us.
Right. Seems like the choice is obvious.
Yeah.
So you're going to get her the birth control pill, and what's the question?
How do I get birth control pills without any of the parents knowing?
Planned Parenthood.
Planet Parenthood?
Planet Parenthood.
Stallone and Schwarzenegger on a piece of it. They got all kinds
of... It gives me a great idea for a new chain.
Welcome to Planet Parenthood. Come on in, have a seat. We'll have your pills for you. It's great to be here in California.
That placenta over there, what movie is that from?
That is from Terminator 3. That was the placenta of young John Connor.
Who signed that Norplant there?
That was from Stallone's Judge Dredd. That was the implant they put in Judge Dredd before they froze him.
That Dacron shield?
And the dental dams. Look at that.
The whole ray of them, whole rainbow.
That would be great.
Yeah. 1-800. Get a pencil.
Just give me the chili fries, a side of water soluble lube, and some semen side there.
Planet Parenthood would just be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I'd have another place to invest.
We could have, restaurant, exams.
Exactly.
Dispensing information, condoms, birth control, morning after pill.
It would be huge.
I've got a Pap smear special.
I want to do this.
You can get the chicken Caesar.
The Pap burger. What are you talking about? I want to do this.
Pap burger.
All right, Matt. Thank you for
Give him a number. This kid needs a number.
1-800. Here you go. You got a pencil?
Yeah.
1-800. I actually heard the pencil being picked up. 230.
Okay.
PLAN. And you're in Encino. There's Planned Parenthood's all around here, and you can get birth control pills without.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Never mind.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you for eating a Planet Parenthood. Come again, please.
Oh, my God.
Andrew?
That's me.
You're 23?
Yes, I actually have two questions. First-time caller, long-time listener, first of all. And my question was, I like to have sex while my significant other is asleep.
Mm-hmm. What does that do for you?
No, he's boning her sister.
Oh,
he's down.
So he goes somewhere else while she's asleep.
He's in the garage.
I see.
Yeah,
got it.
She's asleep.
Got it.
Yeah.
She's completely zonked out, and I find it really exciting to do my business and getting away with it while she's sleeping, I guess.
Does she not wake up, or does she just sort of play along with you?
Well, sometimes she'll play along. Sometimes I recognize that she doesn't.
I mean, this is a fetish. Do you have any kind of sort of rape impulses? Do you want to overpower somebody, that sort of thing?
No, I don't have anybody. I haven't had any other incidents like this until this one, and she really means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. You want to sneak under the cloak of darkness and not be noticed.
I don't know, right.
Did your mom ever make you a Batman costume?
No, I'm afraid she didn't.
What if she were dead? Would that be better? No?
The same?
It's called a necrophilia thing?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Okay, but you said you felt like you were getting away with something.
Kind of, yeah.
Doing your business, which is a strange thing because it's like it's a two-person sport, and you're couching it in terms of doing your business.
Right.
So was sex naughty or taboo growing up? Did it feel like something you shouldn't be doing? Did you feel almost like you have to sneak it in?
Yeah, almost.
I mean, it's uncomfortable to do it in front of another person.
No, a little bit. Couldn't do it in public, that's for sure.
No, but I mean the fact that there's another person, meaning your partner involved, it's sort of shaming or somehow troubling to you.
I perform very well when she's awake as well.
I didn't say perform. I just said you have funny feelings about it.
All right, listen. Now, you're calling from Salt Lake. Are you Mormon?
No, my parents are.
Mm-hmm. Your parents are. Well, you grew up in an environment.
Wait a minute. You don't just casually leave the flock there.
What happened?
Quite a few bad experiences with the with some of the affiliates of that religion.
Like what happened?
I don't know, just getting dumped on in general, treated like I was the just like the outcast in general, the black sheep or something.
But didn't Adam open with that question about your feelings of guilt and ambivalence about religious issues? I mean, this is a huge deal for you.
All right.
So naturally enough, it would be expressed in your intimate, intense, and you know, interpersonal.
All right. How does your wife feel about it? Is this your wife, by the way?
No. It could definitely a candidate, that's for sure.
Candidate.
Yeah. But there's not a lot of people trying to get on that ballot. Yeah. Mm. All right. So she's a candidate.
It'd be a recall.
Yeah. It's between her and nobody. All right. What do you do for a living?
Makes mannequins.
Well, I'm a restaurant manager.
Oh, really?
I would think it would be very uncomfortable to stay in Salt Lake, to reject your family, reject the church, and then to be in such denial that you don't even understand that you're having all kinds of funny feelings about it. When it sort of starts emerging in your relationship, you can't make a connection with that.
Yeah.
But it's intense what you're talking about, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
All right. All right, so, Andrew, what does your girlfriend, how does she feel about you having sex with her in her sleep? Because a lot of women take offense to this.
She really may not have put in her honest opinion about it, but we have talked about it before. She just knows that I like it and at times pretends that she's still asleep, but, you know.
Still not answering the question.
What's her opinion about it, though? She doesn't have any opinion about it?
Not that I've gotten from her.
Andrew,
straight question.
Yeah,
many
Andrew. Yeah, Andrew's living in a world of denial. It's where he lives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Andrew, if you were a jukebox, I would kick you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, look, well, I'm done talking to you because we've asked you five questions and your answers. First off,
I'm a restaurant manager.
It's like
you're getting iffy questions.
It's like
that.
You're taking a crap and lying at the same time. Nothing. No. Well, come on. This is your life. You just you're sort of half a human being. You can't answer questions. Everything's a mess. What's going on?
I really can't explain much as far as that.
All right, but I just want to know this. You've spoken to her about having sex with her while she's asleep.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't express any feelings about that?
One way or the other?
Not much feelings about how she feels about that.
Can we talk to her?
Really.
Is there a way we could speak to her?
Actually, no. She's sleeping
right
now.
She died 4 years ago.
She's what? She's in the car?
She's sleeping right now, but I'm in the car.
Okay. Well, she's probably just faking it so you can give her a good humping.
Okay.
All right, get in there. Get on top of that stuff. And don't have any kids, all right?
Well, no. We're still practicing safe sex.
Good.
Although, okay. Do we have any time to fit in another small question for Drew?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
For some reason, her breasts have been hurting for the last week. And I was wondering if you could help me solve that.
Help you solve that?
Oh,
that's
well.
What happens before women's periods. They get a little tender, and if she's on the pill, there can be some tenderness. That's a common thing.
No pills. Just it's been hurting for about a week, she's mentioned.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, she'll have her period soon.
All right.
What do you think it is?
Yeah.
Could
be some cysts, fibrocystic breast too sometimes.
And here's the whole thing. If she's on her period, she should put her... She should put a scarf on the bedpost.
So you know.
You know what I mean? So you don't give her toxic shock syndrome by ramming a tampon and she's gonna belch up later in the day. All right?
Got
it. Right. Okay. Okay. All right. I really do. I from doing this show,
guy's
I just
wound up like a cheap alarm clock.
I just realized that some people are sort of more animal than human. Not in their appearance, but just in their sort of it's like if. If a raccoon could talk, this is what it might say. You know what I mean? Be slightly confused by the language. Never know really what you're talking about. And
not
things like
distracted by everything.
Things like inflection never mean anything.
Not thinking about things. Just yeah. not like, huh? Ask her how she feels.
Feels?
Oh.
Not well.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what do I do?
Here's what happens is people... basically state their problem, and they say they do things that are semi-outlandish, things that would raise eyebrows or other people might take offense to.
Right.
And then, like, so it's like equivalent to like saying, I walked into my work and I punch my boss right in the face, and you say, how did he react? And they're, huh?
React?
What do you mean?
He really didn't have feeling about it one way or the other.
I didn't ask him.
They don't connect their statement or question to your follow-up question.
Yeah. He didn't seem to mind. He kind of played along. His head snapped back.
It seems like Salt Lake's a good place for Andrew,
it's a bad
though.
Place for him.
It is?
Really having he is not...
Why, you want him out here?
No, but it's that, you know, coming out of
the
church
religion
like that. Yeah, boy. And
I wonder if he was sneaking glances at girls and stuff when he wasn't supposed to when he was
something.
Young.
He had to forsake his family and the community. And everything. It's a big deal. And then he stays in Salt Lake where it's hard to, you know, imagine he's reminded of it all the time. And, oh, my God.
Do you guys get the impression that with certain religions that are sort of, and I guess Mormonism would be one of those sort of overpowering religions where it sort of teaches you to sort of shut your mind off in a certain way at a fairly early age.
There's a herd mentality a little bit.
And
there,
it's sort of like, look, don't go out and explore. You don't have to be a sponge. We got a pipeline of information we're going to plug into you, and we're just going to feed this information into you, good or bad. But then the people don't really have the tools to explore, and then when you talk to them, they're just sort of glassy-eyed, and there's like, well, I'm not plugged into the pipeline, so I don't really know what you're saying because I can't process new thoughts, new ideas.
Let me go ask someone how I feel about this. I'll be right back.
Right. Ralph Garman.
Yes. dear
friend, everybody.
Wow.
Spike TV's.
Yeah, look at the bio to see that.
Let's see. Where's Ralph
Garman. Yeah.
From Joe Schmo, everybody. 9 o'clock, Tuesday nights. Spike TV. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dear friend Ralph Garman in here tonight from Joe Schmo, which is on Spike TV Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. Remember I was complaining the other...
You complaining? No, I can't remember. What were we talking about?
It had something to do with traffic.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying that...
What's your take on traffic?
I'll tell you something. The cops, I was saying that cops have like two speeds. They have speeding and they have crawling, but they don't have just sort of good clip.
Yeah.
You know, you always feel safe when you're behind a cop on a freeway because as long as you don't pass them,
you're
cool.
Right.
And if the cop was doing, you know, if the speed limit's 55 and the cop's doing 63, then you just keep it at 61 and anything behind him is none of his concern. But I told you, you do see cops driving at 52, and then the freeway backs up because no one wants to go around
them. That's
true. And I'm driving here tonight. I'm in the fast lane, which, by the way, means there is no fast lane in Los Angeles. But I was in the fast lane, and all of a sudden, some guy was just crawling, and I was like, what the F's going on? And there was that cop. He's doing somewhere between 49 and 51 on the freeway. And the thing about Los Angeles is you never know if you're in 55 or 65.
Right.
Which constantly keeps you off balance.
Yeah.
And it changes every 150 feet. You're going 50, you're in a 55 zone, it goes up to 65, then it drops down to 55, but you never quite know. Do you know?
No.
I mean, Ralph, you've been driving here for 15 years. Could you say for certain at any given time, if there's no sign for you to look at, and a cop was doing 55, would you feel confident going past him at 65?
Absolutely not.
Is it part of some sort of grand scheme to keep people off balance?
It seems like it.
Does it seem like everyone should just sort of know? Like, should we just paint the ground a different color? Like, if it's green, you're in 55. It's in red, you're in 65 or something.
Get rid of the 55 thing.
Yeah.
Let's kick it all up to 65.
We're all grown-ups.
Yeah.
Come on now. Let's all just go 65.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at it this way, Ralph's car was a S. Brown Dodge Shadow that his grandmother gave him.
That is not true. It was a Plymouth Sundance.
Oh, yeah.
I take offense to that Shadow reference. The Sundance was a remarkable piece of machinery.
It was...
Here's the thing. It used to make Adam crazy because I didn't give a rat's ass about cars. Never meant anything to me. Just it took me from the bar and home. That's all I cared about.
Yeah, he's
that's right.
He's
and it made Adam crazy that I didn't care what I was driving.
Yeah.
He would get so upset for me. He would get outraged for me.
I feel his pain.
Yeah. It was a brown What was it, Chad?
Plymouth Sundance.
Sundance. All right. Well, anyway, my car situation was so bad that I'd borrow it on occasion if I had a hot date, which was like, oh, you've stepped up from total piece of F to a mild piece of S. That's, wow, I'm impressed. Yeah, because, see, you got an $1,800 car. This is a $2,200 car. I'm getting laid
for
sure. Yeah, it's my toy.
It's my toy!
Anyway, if there's any cops listening to the show, and we do have them listening to the show, let's get going, fellas.
That
52 freaks everybody out. We're all scared,
maybe
especially Los
Angeles.
Maybe
the horizon for criminal behavior. Maybe they need to, slow down so they can see everything.
And I'm cool, but like we talked about with the taxi and the little beacon on the roof, flip a light up that says you're busy doing something bigger and better and that we can go by you. Because Los Angeles is just crammed full of illegals with no insurance and everyone's scared to death to drive past you guys. And that holds me up. Me, being a celebrity, I don't get the tickets. You know what I mean? Ralph, have you been pulled over since the celebrity has hit?
I'm sorry, when does that happen? I'm still waiting for the celebrity to hit.
Have you any perks beside the women? Any cops recognize you? Anyone let you into anything?
I did get, I was broken down the side of the 405 at one point, and CHP came up behind me. Was a little aggravated that I was in the shoulder there. But when he came up and saw my driver's license, he was a listener of the morning show here in Los Angeles, and he recognized me, and he was very pleasant after that. So there was a little perk there.
See? Perks, bro. Right.
Yeah. That's good. Helped me out of the jam.
Amy?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, my question is, when my boyfriend and I are having sex, sometimes it becomes painful because he's big and I'm kind of small. So is there any position or anything I can do to keep it from becoming painful? Because afterwards, it's like we have to wait a day to have sex because I just can't handle it.
To use lubricants?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Well, what position
Tell
is most comfortable for you?
You name it. We've tried them all.
You don't have one that isn't one where you sort of set the tempo or the depth, as it were? The best.
Well, I mean, like when I'm laying down, it's a little easier.
So
when I'm on my back, but
and he doesn't overstep his penis boundaries.
No. It's just that it just becomes. I mean, I get so sore afterwards.
How long do you guys go for?
It depends. We sometimes usually go for a while. Sometimes,
how long?
You know, I mean, 20 minutes to an hour sometimes.
All right. Well, that's your problem. It's not
really?
Size. It's just too long.
Yeah. So
really?
Why don't?
Is it a problem
really?
The girth or
too long?
Is girth or length the problem size wise?
Huh?
Is it the girth or the length that's the problem size wise?
A little bit of both.
But Amy, most women after about 10 minutes.
Girth.
Women, Amy, most women after about 10 minutes, it's just ouch.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And it give you urine infections, all kinds of stuff. Are you having that problem too?
Well, I've always had bladder infections since I was young.
Right, but all the more reason to pay attention to this stuff. Be careful.
Okay.
All right, so why don't you stop, set that little egg timer for 15 minutes. Yeah?
Okay.
Is it better when you're the woman's superior position, when you're on top? Is that better for you?
Actually, you know what? I find that it's actually a little more painful when I'm on top.
Yeah, see, I always thought women were
taking a shot.
I thought they were better off on top because
they
could sort of
depth charge.
It depends,
right? But evidently, the position is less comfortable for them. Yes,
so you can sort of.
She gets some batting donuts. You know those donuts you put on a bat when you swing there on deck circle.
I worked that out many years ago.
Called it the love grommet.
Yeah,
the love grommet.
It's just foam rubber. Looks the shape of a batting donut. Fits around the dork there, and you get a little kickback action off it.
Spring loaded.
Excellent idea.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then you had all kinds of attachments, remember?
For the batting donut? I mean,
the
grommet?
Didn't you have a belt for your beer and stuff?
Yeah, you know what my problem is I lose interest in my own horrible ideas a little before other people do, so they want to keep talking about, when are we moving to Boobville, dude? I'm like, oh, yeah, that was stupid. Rachel?
Oh, hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
You're recently sober, but you take 10 to 30 NyQuil capsules a day?
Yeah.
Drew, would you consider that sober?
No, I would not consider that sober.
No.
What does that do to somebody?
I have to look at the contents. I thought there was alcohol.
It's alcohol.
In NyQuil, yeah.
It's dextromethorphan. It's like...
Oh, DXM. There you go. So, so that's a hallucinogenic or dissocia, really.
That's a lot.
So, and Rachel, what's going on with your sobriety? Were you in treatment in a hospital?
Yeah, I went to an inpatient for a month and a half.
All right. You got to tell them what's going on. This is not good. This is not good at all.
It's just like exactly the same thing. What's it doing to my liver? Is it like really bad though?
Let's just say it is. Your addiction is activated, and that's the most deadly condition you've got. So that's the thing you have to be very focused on. What does your sponsor say about this?
I didn't tell her.
All right. Start with that. Give her a call right now, okay?
Okay.
All right, Rachel. Good luck. You'll be all right. Just learn from this. Something's wrong with your sobriety. You're not giving it up to it yet. You've got to just completely capitulate to the process, start taking direction, and just get with the program, all right?
All right.
Nine. And she switches to DayQuil. She won't be so drowsy.
Yeah, and what about just taking... I don't understand. If they have the NyQuil caplets or whatever, shouldn't you just take a shot of the bottle?
Shouldn't you? What do you mean?
Well, I mean...
Isn't there more fun?
How much can a caplet... First off, you do get to simulate
the
boozing.
Shot. It's almost, exactly.
She's getting the dextromethorphan, which just gives like a dissociative experience.
You know, the NyQuil to come in a flask-shaped bottle. You bring it with you.
It's a little nip.
It's great. It's cold. You're at a boring ball game or business meeting. You know, you just reach in, that flask, maybe a Boda bag
or
something.
It's really very Jägermeister-esque when you think about it.
It absolutely is. Drew, you done?
Mm.
We're done talking to kids? Because I got to help kids.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
All right. Has anyone been on hold for a real long time? Just check in real fast with Seth. Seth?
Yeah?
You're 39?
No, I'm 19, not 39.
Yeah, you're on hold for 39 minutes.
Oh, really?
It's ironic.
Adam's doing NyQuil tablets.
Yeah.
That's the
All
problem.
Right. I just replaced the one with the three. So you want to know the effects of mushrooms?
Yes, I do.
Long term? No one really knows.
It's not well studied, but it's probably going to be about the same as other hallucinogens, which mean these chemicals that cause hallucinations as a result of their primary effect on the brain cause brain damage. And certainly with LSD, we see lots of problems with depression. With ecstasy, we see problems with mood disturbances again, anxiety disturbances, and memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be in that realm. It's rare to find somebody that does a lot of mushrooms, though.
I don't. I usually space it out to like once every couple of months.
Be careful. It's clearly not good for you.
I have the same relationship with mushrooms as I have with a corn dog, which is once every 8 years I ate a corn dog and I announced, this is great. I love these things. I should eat more.
It's usually at the county fair, too.
Yeah, then 10 years later, I eat my next corn dog. Mm-hmm. But I always announce, this is good. This is solid. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Where did the time go, Drew?
When you were with dear friends.
You guys are the goods. Fastest 2 hours in radio, I'll tell you, man.
It's an easy gig.
I listen when I can. You guys are really good.
Thanks, Ralph. Great to see, tickled pink to see Ralph doing so well, not only on the morning show, the Kevin and Bean morning show out here in Los Angeles, but Joe Schmo on Spike TV, 9 o'clock on Tuesday nights. Continued success, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And come in on season two and give it a nice fat plug.
Okay. Speaking of plugs, I will be at the Santa...
I wasn't talking to you.
I just got to give one. Santa Monica, Barnes & Noble tomorrow night at the Promenade.
Whatever.
Signing at like 7:30.
All right.
Get Drew's book cracked. It's good.
Thank you.
All right.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
What movie is that from?
That is from Terminator 3. That was the placenta of young John Connor.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.